Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Tech Loft Podcast. I'm your host, Sal, and we've got a few more stories to bring to you in this episode. But before we go on, I just want to remind everyone that this podcast is available on several different platforms, not just Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. And wherever you do find this, this show, please subscribe if you're on the appropriate if you are on your regular platform, subscribe. And if you're able to like the podcast, if you liked it, give it a like. And that's it. and share your favorite episodes on your social media platform. So for this episode, I found three articles to share with you. We have news from LG. We also have We have some new privacy. I found an article on Apple and Google and their and privacy on their devices, and I also finally an old article I found regarding Fortnite in the family with your significant other. So stay tuned and let's get on with the show. All right, let's open up with our first article here on LG. And we've got some big news coming from LG. It's not good news, but the headline is "An End of an Era, LG Becomes First Major Brand to Wind Down Its Global Smartphone Business." South Korean electronics giant LG Electronics has announced that it will no longer produce and sell smartphones after years of huge losses in a highly competitive market. Goes on here. While the move has been rumored for weeks, the company confirmed that the board of directors approved the strategic decision to shut down the loss-making mobile division on Monday. And this article is from April 5th. The South Korean tech powerhouse, which was once the world's third largest handset maker, expects to fully wind down the unit's operations by the end of July, but some of its phones could still be available for sale until inventories run out. LG has promised to support existing models for a certain period of time, depending on region. LG is planning to focus instead on growth areas such as electronic vehicle components, connected devices, smart homes, robotics, artificial intelligence, and business-to-business solutions, as well as platforms and services, the company said in a statement. It will also continue to develop some mobility-related technologies such as 6G. Wow. Here I am. We just rolled out 5G. They're already planning 6G. Jeez, I don't understand. Anyways, on with the article here. The writing was on the wall for LG, and now it's confirmed. Neil Shah, partner at research provider Counterpoint, wrote on Twitter, "One thing which has helped LG stay afloat for so many years is because of their vertical integration. They are a mini Samsung." The South Korean brand's mobile division has faced mounting losses over the past 5 years, reportedly totaling $4.5 billion. Abandoning the loss-making mobile business could boost the company's operating profits, taking it to new highs after last year's record of 3.2 trillion won, 2.85 billion. LG's share in the global smartphone market stands at around 2%, according to the most recent data from Counterpoint. The South Korean electronics producer shipped only 24 million phones in 2020, while global leaders Samsung and Apple shipped nearly 256 million and over 201 million, respectively. Those brands are expected to fill the gap left by LG. And it doesn't look like it's a very big gap to fill. I've never owned an LG phone. I've never seen its appeal. Unfortunately, I always thought LG phones weren't all that on par with a Samsung or Apple phone, mobile phone. From the beginning, I mean, now we've had smartphones for over 10 years. I remember the LG chocolate was this brown, like chocolate bar shaped phone. And some people around me, I've seen them, they had it. But then once they've moved on to Apple or Android device, like a Samsung, they're like, oh my God, this is so much better. So their experiences with their mobile device has greatly improved by moving from LG onto a new new hardware and platform and all that. Am I sad to see LG mobile phones go? No, I never seen them as a big player. These are phones that were given away free from mobile companies as an incentive to come move from existing plans to a whole new company. Because LG phones were one of those phones that were just given away for free just by coming over. At least here in Canada, that's where I've seen it. But it looks like 2% market share, smart move. They made the right move in calling it quits. Hopefully they will support the existing people up until those devices become obsolete or they run out of parts and all that. If they do any repair, I doubt, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, I mean, LG is a big company. Like the article said, it's a mini Samsung. So they've got lots of other things to focus on and invest that money into money-making operations. But yeah, there you go. LG mobile phones will no longer be a thing as they wave goodbye. Okay, so moving on to our next article. This is one is a privacy based article, and it's got Apple and Google in their crosshairs. So this article, Apple and Google both track mobile telemetry data despite users opting out. Now this is serious stuff here, because you know users' privacy should be respected, but unfortunately you've got these two popular mobile operating systems that are really successful, and people, they just love using their mobile devices, and these manufacturers, Apple and Google being software, but they have their Pixel phones, they just keep sucking information from your device. Let's get on with this article. So Google's Pixel and Apple's iPhone both in privacy hot seat for siphoning mobile device data without consent. Mobile device tracking by Apple and Google takes center stage in a report revealing that despite both allowing users to opt out of sharing telemetry data, they do anyway. Both iOS and Google Android transmit telemetry despite the user explicitly opting out of this, wrote researcher Douglas Leith from Trinity College in Ireland in a recent published academic report. The research entitled Mobile Handset Privacy, Measuring the Data iOS and Android Send to Apple and Google, also found that Google collects up to 20 times more data from its Android Pixel users compared to the amount of data that Apple collects from iOS users. The phone IEMI hardware serial number, SIM serial number, and IMSI handset phone number, etc. are shared with Apple and Google, according to the report. When a SIM is inserted, both iOS and Google Android send details to Apple and Google. iOS sends the MAC address of nearby devices, that is other handsets, and the home gateway to Apple, together with their GPS location. Currently, there are few, if any, realistic options for preventing this data sharing. Data collected and shared with Google and Apple. Parameters of the testing did not include pre-installed apps baked into the manufacturer's mobile operating system or third-party apps. Rather, research focused on data collected by iOS-level handset components and functions such as Apple's Bluetooth Unique Chip ID, Secure Element ID, and the transmission of the device's Wi-Fi MAC addresses. Google collects a notably larger volume of handset data than Apple Lee throat. During the first 10 minutes of startup, the Pixel handset sends about 1 megabyte of data to Google, compared with iPhone sending around 42K of data to Apple. When the handsets are sitting idle, the Pixel sends roughly 1 megabyte of data to Google every 12 hours, compared with iPhone sending 52K of to Apple. That is, Google collects around 20 times more handset data than Apple. He noted that the operating systems connect to their back-end servers on average every 4.5 minutes, whether they're in use or not. On an informational basis, Leith did examine a number of the pre-installed apps and services specific to the phone manufacturers. He noted that they also make network connections despite never having been opened or used. In particular, on iOS, these include Siri, Safari, and iCloud. And on Google Android, these include the YouTube app, Chrome, Google Docs, Safety Hub, Google Messaging, the clock, and the Google search bar, he said. Apple and Google dispute the research. When Leith reached out to both Apple and Google to comment on his research, he received mixed results. To date, Apple have responded with silence. We sent them 3 emails to Apple's director of user privacy, who declined even to acknowledge receipt of an email, Leith wrote. Since then, Apple has made public statements critical of Leith's research and insisting privacy and opt-out measures do exist. Google responded with a number of comments and clarifications, he wrote. They also say that they intend to publish public documentation on the telemetry data that they collect. In a statement to the numerous publications following the release of the research, Google said, "We identified flaws in the researchers' methodology for measuring data volume and disagree with the paper's claim that an Android device shares 20 times more data than an iPhone. According to our research, these findings are off by an order of magnitude, and we share our methodology concerns with the researcher before publication." This researcher largely outlines how smartphones work. Modern cars regularly send basic data about vehicle components, their safety status, and service schedules to car manufacturers, and mobile phones work in very similar ways. This report details those communications, which help ensure that iOS or Android software is up to date. Interesting how this Google mentioned iOS covering its butt too. Service up to date, services are working as intended, and that the phone is secure and running efficiently. So what are the privacy dangers of mobile devices sharing too much data? The privacy dangers of a handset sharing this type of telemetry data is twofold. The researcher noted, one is that Google and Android can use data to identify a user and track purchases, Leith said. And this is very true. Everyone who uses an Android device or an iOS device has to sign in. So it's never anonymous, like some people think the COVID tracking app works. You're signed in. They know who you are. Two, Apple and Google could abuse users' trust and track their movements. There you go. That said, the researcher does point out that the transmission of user data to a device maker's backend is necessary for pushing out security updates for specific models. Collecting user data becomes problematic when it's tied to a specific user, he said. Many studies have shown that location data linked over time can be used to de-anonymize the individual, he said. Do-it-yourself privacy hack. In the report, the author outlines a number of methods a user can take to avoid sharing mobile data. While he said there are no workaround options to prevent an iPhone from sharing data with Apple, there are steps Pixel users can take to prevent the vast majority of data sharing with Google. With Pixel, a user can choose to start up the phone with a network connection disabled, he said. Next, before the user enables the network connection, they can disable Google-specific services such as Google Play. YouTube before enabling the network connection. So that's pretty handy. And yeah, iPhone is pretty locked down. I am an iPhone user, and I got to say that I'm very close to swapping out my phone with, unfortunately, I'm sad to say, with a Pixel device. But the only reason is because there's an OS, a mobile OS called Graphene OS, and it only works with Pixel devices because of bootloader. There's a feature with the bootloader that you can lock it after putting in your custom ROM. So this is the reason why I would go Pixel, boot it, and load it up with a custom ROM, which is very easy to do now. And Graphene OS is a privacy-centric operating system with the number one concern being privacy. I'll probably try to do more on that in future episodes. But there you go. A lot of these guys talk about privacy. Privacy is number one. But it looks like there's a lot of data being sent to the home servers of Apple and Google. But Google comes back and says, hey, we need that information is important to us. So for updates and security and all that stuff. But I'm sure there's another way that that can be done in terms of mobile security. But anyways, that's what we got there for Google and Apple siphoning telemetry data from your mobile devices. All right, guys. And now for my final I thought this one would be a little bit entertaining. It's got to do with Fortnite. So here we go. So more and more couples are reportedly divorcing over Fortnite. Now, this article that I found was from January 27th of this year, 2021, but it dates back, this topic here dates back to 2018, and I haven't seen it before, let's get on with it. I find it a little bit comical, but you know what? It must be a pretty serious thing. So Fortnite is a beautiful way to bring people together across the country. School cafeteria tables rumble with family circles discussing combat stats. Parents are hiring professional coaches to spend time with their kids, and thousands of streamers are entertaining the masses with their various gimmicks. Fortnite, like all good things, has a dark side, though, as hundreds of people learned throughout 2018. According to a recent report by UK divorce resource site Divorce Online, more than 200 couples filed for divorce in 2018 while citing Fortnite and addiction to other games as a reason for the split, a victory royale that is not, at least for the spouses, on the receiving end of that negligence. These numbers equate to roughly 5% of the 4,665 petitions we have handled since the beginning of the year, and as one of the largest filers of divorce petitions in the UK is a pretty good indicator, a Divorce Online representative wrote. With the rise of digital media, addiction to games, social media, and other electronic distractions will likely stay a significant source of marital problems in the West. The World Health Organization established gaming disorder, otherwise referred to as gaming addiction, as a public health concern. Whereas the WHO states that gaming disorder must be established over the course of many months, one imagines a relationship between two partners might require far less strict guidelines, as at least one partner to recognize an issue. There's also the issue of money being spent on games like Fortnite. Research firm SuperData says that players spent $8.2 billion on digital games in July of 2018, with Fortnite sitting pretty at the top of all earners on console and a fifth on PC. Battle Royale games themselves have exploded in popularity in the last year, most notably the cartoony Fortnite and the more realistic PlayerUnknown's Battleground. Battle Royale modes are coming to Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, and Battlefield 5 in the coming months. So again, this article is a bit dated, but yeah, it gets pretty serious here. Unfortunately, I'm gonna treat the electronic device as a whole as a distraction from family. And unfortunately, it does exist where one partner is always on their device, whether they're playing games or constantly trying to interact with social media. And the really sad part is when a child is on the other end here, where they're being neglected, where, you know, it's like they wanna play with mom or dad. And unfortunately, mom or dad will probably be like, okay, just give me a minute. I just wanna finish up here, or go and play video games, or go play with your brother and sister or something like that. I mean, I'm not going to single anyone out. I mean, this does happen. It is. I can see this being a very common issue. Maybe with myself, it's happened. And sometimes you have to just stop and take a look at your environment and see like, hey man, am I spending enough time with my kids, or am I spending enough time with my husband or wife or whatever, you know? But this is also a very serious note. So please, folks, pay attention to how much time not how much time you're on your mobile device, but maybe when you're on your mobile device. You know, you don't want to be at those times where you're with family and you guys are together. Maybe you're watching something together on TV. And, but just remember this in the back of your mind when you pick up your phone with someone in the room with you. Make sure they're either doing something or they're not looking for your attention. So wow, this turned out to be quite serious. watch your online gaming, watch your mobile device gaming. There you go. All right, guys, this concludes this episode of the Tech Loft Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully it wasn't too big. And you guys still remained somewhat interested in the news that I've brought to you today, tech news. Just a reminder, please don't forget to subscribe and like the podcast and the episode. And if you guys have any comments, please send me a tweet over Twitter. The username is @TheTechLoft, and you can tag me and send any messages you want. If you have any news of your own that you'd like to be included into the show, I can do that too. No problem. And that's it. Until next week, thanks for listening and ciao for now.